Now I have children of my own. They ask their mother, what will I be? Will I be handsome? Will I be rich? I tell them tenderly.
We get started tonight with a song for Mother. Well, that's sort of a Mother's Day song, right? It's Mother's good advice. Mother's teaching. Mother's words of solace. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. I'm Vince Gelsa. This is Idiot's Delight. Now and forever.
Showed it to a boy in school today. Judy, where did you go wrong? You used to make me smile when I was down. Judy was a teenage rebel. She did it with a boy when she was young. She gave herself to books and learning. She gave herself to being number one. Judy, I don't know you if gonna show me everything. Judy, I don't know you if you're gonna show me everything. Carry it on your shoulders, say everything when you talk. If you're ever feeling blue, then write another song about your dream of horses. Write a song. Thank you.
a writer a number of years ago who wrote a book about traveling on the blue highways, on the back roads of America. The book was actually called Blue Highways. I think the man's name was William Least Half Moon. Does that ring a bell? William Least Half Moon? I think that was his name. And I always thought that Graham Parker was inspired by that phrase, Blue Highways, and possibly by that book as well, when he wrote that song, which was on an album called The Mona Lisa's Sister, way back when. An album that is about to be reissued, finally, with a bonus track and remastered and all kinds of stuff on this this new label, this revitalized label called Buddha Records, that is reissuing a lot of lost classic albums from a variety of genres. Wonderful old jazz recordings, radio things, Duke Ellington, Fats Waller, Frank Sinatra, stuff that's never ever been issued at all. And then digging into various vaults and reissuing for the first time generally albums on CD that were bypassed along the way when people made decisions as to which LP vinyl albums were going to make the transition to CD. And so they're doing a real nice job resurrecting some wonderful music. The Mona Lisa's Sister was the title of that Graham Parker album. It had that song called Blue Highways on it. And that closes off the opening set. The Blue Highways, they're still out there. They're, they're getting increasingly more congested. and there's more and more McDonald's every 5 or 6 miles, but you can still find, quote, I guess, the real America out there on the back roads. The back roads are the best way to travel. The interstates are pretty anonymous, you know. There's you can be on an interstate in almost any state, and a little bit of the terrain changes, and that's about it. You got to drive through the old towns. Where's Route 66 when we need it? It's gone. But you got to drive through the old towns and the small towns and the outback of America. You know, it exists out there. We get so used to being in New York and the megalopolis and in the intensity of life here that we forget that there's a whole other different way of living that a lot of people live out in places away from big cities. And I'm not talking about weird, crazed fanatics in the woods storing up canned soup for the millennium breakdown of computers. I'm not talking about survivalists or, you know, fruitcakes. I'm just talking about normal, common, everyday people who just live a sort of a slower life than we live. We live a very fast life in the big cities in America. And there's a song from Graham Parker that urges not necessarily making a transition to that other life, but at least going out and examining it every once in a while and understanding the fact that it exists and that that you have options. Things are going by much too quickly for me these days. Oh, I have an interesting story to tell you about tonight's show. yeah, I have an interesting story to tell you about. You know how sometimes... you know that expression, everything happens for the best? You know, it's a cliche, like whatever will be, you know? But there's something to those cliches. The reason why they've survived generations and generations is because there's truth to them. In every cloud, a silver lining. You know, it's always darkest before the dawn. All of those cliches. They all are true. And it's so wonderful when you have a situation that is disheartening you and upsetting you. It's so wonderful to have one of those cliches to fall back on and go, oh, yes, I see. Everybody else has experienced this, too. I've got an It's All for the Best story to tell you in just a couple of minutes here on Idiot's Delight. Yes, this is Idiot's Delight. We're still here. As far as I know, we will continue to be here. There continue to be rumors and even news reports of rumors about a proposed format change at this radio station. I have heard nothing officially from anybody. I just hear rumors and news reports of rumors. But I don't know anything because nobody's actually said anything. But this show, Idiot's Delight, has always been considered a specialty show, and I assume it will continue to be considered a specialty show. It has nothing to do with formats. It exists outside of formats, whatever format this radio station has been over the last couple of years since we've been back here on WNEW, it doesn't refer or relate to. So whatever changes will happen here, if in fact they do happen here, I assume that that this show will somehow manage to survive and continue. I remain under contract to this radio station until January, late January of 2000. I intend to honor the contract, and I've been told unofficially by sources high up that so does the station. So we'll see. The reason why I played Doris Day, Que Sera, Sera, whatever will be, is whatever will be, will be. It's useless to worry about it anymore. I'm tired of worrying about it. If they let me continue, fine. If they don't want me here, fine. I'll go someplace else. You know, it's as simple as that. Or I'll, you know, or I'll just do it anymore. Tired of worrying about it. Tired of trying to second guess. You know, you can only, the old cliche, you lead a horse to water, you can't make a drink. These people aren't going to say anything until they're ready to say something. And when they say it, they'll say it. And that'll be that. I had a discussion with a member of upper management here this week. And he used the word spilkus with me. He said he's been detecting spilkus in my tone on the air lately. I said, yes. In fact, we're here. We're here tonight. I am ensconced. I'm in a strange place, mood-wise, because of this story that I'm about to tell you, but I think everything will, in fact, be all right. And whatever will be, will be. We'll all just hang in there. It's only a radio show. And it's only a radio station. Really? I mean, that's maybe sacrilege, but, you know, really. It's not bombs dropping on, you know, hospitals. Or embassies. Oh, let's bomb the Chinese embassy. Oh, World War III by the end of 1999? How can we accomplish that? Good, let's bomb the Chinese embassy. Oh, we're sorry, we didn't mean to. Couldn't they have picked some other smaller country's embassy to bomb by mistake? China's embassy. Gee whiz. Up and down the line, there are people making decisions everywhere in our lives, on our planet, who don't seem to have all their spark plugs firing. Doris Day, whatever will be, will be. Que sera, sera. A beautiful new piece of music from a band called Beulah. Beulah, B-E-U-L-A-H. We will hear more from Beulah later on in the show. There's an album called When Your Heartstrings Break. What a beautiful title for an album. When Your Heartstrings Break, from the band called Beulah. We heard a song entitled Emma Blowgun's Last Stand. It is inexplicably titled that. Or at least it will remain inexplicable until I can decipher the lyrics more than I've been able to. And no lyric sheet comes along with the album. It's on a little label out of Chicago called Sugar Free Records. But the band is evidently from the West Coast. The band is called Beulah. The album is called When Your Heartstrings Break, a wonderful title. And then that song has this great title as well, Emma Blowgun's Last Stand. Very Belle and Sebastian-ish, especially with the use of horns and other kind of offbeat keyboard instruments and strings and stuff like that. So we heard Belle and Sebastian from the first album, Judy and the Dream of Horses, from If You're Feeling Sinister, Belle and Sebastian. Heather Eatman's Marvelous Sympathy, from her recent self-released album. Heather Eatman, a local New Yorker, an artist as well as a songwriter. She's a visual artist, graphic artist. She works over at the Daily News. In fact, probably tonight she will be at the Daily News designing Monday's front page. I think that's her gig on the weekends. Heather Eatman is her name. Candy and Dirt is the title of the album. Sympathy is what that song is called. Everybody Needs Some. And finally, Graham Parker, Blue Highways. Here on Idiot's Delight, WNEW FM. We'll pause for some commercial messages.
What if your job was to travel around the world to find just the perfect ingredients to brew the perfect beer? Hi, I'm Jim Cook, brewer of Sam Adams. And although my job might sound like something you'd never want to try, it's times like this when all those strange beer journeys are worth it. Because it's summer, and I'm using a rare brewing spice grown only in West Africa to brew my Sam Adams Summer Ale. The name of this unique spice is very cool, Grains of Paradise. And the crisp flavor makes it perfect for a summer brew. The Grains of Paradise give my Sam Adams Summer Ale a refreshing balance with the special wheat malt. Sam Adams Summer Ale. What a delicious way to cool off a hot summer day. So when you're looking for something refreshing this summer, open a bottle of my Sam Adams Summer Ale and discover paradise in a beer. Sam Adams, it's what's inside.
Discover Estroven. As you approach menopause, your estrogen levels fluctuate, causing physical and emotional changes. Now there's Estroven, the natural supplement with plant estrogens from soy and essential nutrients. Estroven helps balance your estrogen levels so you feel like yourself again. Find Estroven at GNC and other leading retailers. And for three specific needs, look for Estroven Mood, Memory, and Bone Density. Estroven, the natural choice for women.
Homeowners, how many times have you painted your house? Need to paint again this season? Well, stop this endless cycle of painting forever with vinyl siding from Sears Home Central. Call Sears for a free in-home estimate at 1-800-954-9191. Call now and save $750 on select styles. Sears vinyl siding has the attractive look of freshly painted wood, and you'll never need to scrape and paint again because it's virtually maintenance-free. So call Sears now at 1-800-954-9191 and save $750 on selected styles. Offer ends May 31st. Some restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Ask your representative for offer details and written warranty. Services and materials provided by Bill Ray, a Sears authorized contractor. License number available on request. You can stop this endless cycle of painting forever. Call Sears Siding now. 1-800-954-9191. That's 1-800-954-9191.
According to FBI statistics, every 3 seconds, a property crime is committed. Every 3 seconds. Now here's a great statistic. A home protected by an ADT security system is 15 times less likely to be the target of a break-in than a home without one. So why take chances? Call America's number one home security company and discover why more than 2 million homes and businesses trust ADT. Right now, for as little as $99, you can have an ADT system installed in your home. Call now and take advantage of this special offer. 50% off any one additional option up to a $75 value. Be smart. Be safe. Protect your home and family. Call ADT.
Call 1-800-488-9050. That's 1-800-488-9050.
36-month monitoring agreement required at $25.99 a month. One-time activation fee may be required. Certain other requirements, restrictions, and fees may apply. License number 12000025576.
It's time to sit back, relax with old friends. Let's get up high, let's have a drink. Let's get together, happen again.
Join us for Bennigan's Grillin' Get-Together, featuring USDA choice steaks like our delicious top sirloin and fire-roasted salsa shrimp combo and our sensational Southwest sampler. Plus, by popular demand, our decadent white chocolate chill-out is back. But hurry, Bennigan's delicious Grillin' Get-Together won't last long. In Ramsey, Saddlebrook, Springfield, and Plainfield.
So sometimes you can go along in your life and everything remains on an even keel. You know, everything is kind of copacetic, you know. Nothing rocks the boat. The waves are non-existent. Surface of the water is relatively smooth and calm. You go about your routine, right? And then every once in a while you get hit by stuff, which is life. That's what it's all about. I mean, if it was just routine all the time, it would be terribly boring, and we'd all want to check out. early, unless it was routine on Tahiti, and then it would be fine, you know. And I firmly believe in that. I could stand for the same thing day in and day out if I was on Tahiti for the rest of my life. It'd be fine. I was supposed to have a guest tonight. You didn't know about it. It was unannounced. The reason why it was unannounced was because there were certain security considerations involved in the appearance of this guest on the show. I hinted at it a few weeks ago when I said that the author Salman Rushdie would be a guest on Idiot's Delight sometime in the month of May. Tonight was to be the night. And Salman Rushdie has this marvelous new novel that has just been published called The Ground Beneath Her Feet, which is very much rooted in the world of pop music, rock and roll, and is full of all sorts of delightful and idiosyncratic references to the entire history of rock and roll, from Elvis in the mid-50s right up to the present day. It sort of encompasses everything from Elvis to Kurt Cobain. And I've been spending a lot of time with this novel, a lot of time preparing for a discussion with Salman Rushdie, who is, after all, a heavy-duty figure in the world of literature and also in the world itself. You know the story, of course, about Salman Rushdie. He was condemned to death by the Ayatollah back in the late 80s for the supposed blasphemy that appeared in his novel called The Satanic Verses. And he had to go into hiding and was in hiding for well over 10 years because there was this fatwa, that's the word, that he was under a condemnation of death. And there were these fanatic people out there, out in the world, who were evidently going to attempt to kill him. And his whole life changed, right? talk about the calm, smooth waters of the lake rocking the boat, man. How about that? And that moment actually becomes the opening moment of his novel, The Ground Beneath Our Feet, in which there is an earthquake that swallows up the main character of the book. And this earthquake takes place on the exact same day that the fatwa was put down on Salman Rushdie. In when? 1989, I think it was? Or was it 87? Hold on a second. Yeah, 1989. The opening line of the book is, on St. Valentine's Day, 1989, the last day of her life, the legendary popular singer Vina Aspara woke sobbing from a dream of human sacrifice in which she had been the intended victim. Well, that was the exact day that the fatwa was put down on him, and his whole life changed, and he had to go into hiding. And it's an extraordinary story. That was only one element of what we were going to talk about tonight, because the man doesn't really want to dwell on that all too much. We were going to talk about his book and his other books, and he's a writer who I greatly admire. I've read all of his novels. And I was both prepared and psyched for his appearance tonight, and also very anxious about it as well. When you're going to do something that is that meaningful to you, there is an element of tension and anxiety, right? So yesterday afternoon, I got a phone call saying that due to a series of circumstances, unfortunate circumstances, he would not be able to appear on the show tonight. And so I had two immediate and simultaneous reactions. One was, "Aw," and the other was, "Ah." It's almost the same word, isn't it? It was like, "Aw, ah." Yeah. And I was very disappointed, needless to say. And I had done all this work, and I had even more preparation that I was going to do throughout the course of the day yesterday. Oh, well, you know, so it goes. I was told that he was very disappointed in the fact that he couldn't come up. I very much wanted to do the show, understood what the show was all about, and that the show would incorporate a lot of the music elements that are, in fact, in the book, that he incorporates into the book. And I was told by his representatives that if he comes back to New York in the summertime, he would very much like to make amends and be on the show then. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. So now we're going to get to the all for the best part. Last night, my wife slipped and fell on the back deck of our house because it was a little algae covered. And in this rainy, wet, misty weather we've been having for a couple of days now, it got very, very slippery. She went out on the back deck at around 9:30 last night to look at the flowers that I had arranged and put on the railing in flower pots, which is her traditional Mother's Day gift. She hadn't been home all day. And she turned out on the outside light and went out. And the next thing I know, she was calling me and saying she had fallen and couldn't get up. I mean, it was like people really do say that in real life. I've fallen and I can't get up. So she's been a sleepless and uncomfortable night last night, as did I. We opted not to go to the emergency room in the middle of the night because that can be a most unpleasant thing. And we figured whatever it was would wait. So we waited till the morning, and in the morning we went to the emergency room. And it was Sunday morning, especially like a Mother's Day Sunday morning, at a suburban emergency room, was very quiet. It was actually a really good time to go. I mean, there were like, you know, no gunshot wounds, no broken limbs. You know, it was like one guy who was still drunk from Friday. They couldn't wake him up, but he was snoring very loudly. And that was about it. So it turns out after they x-rayed her, it turns out she broke her ankle in two places. Well, the point of all this is I didn't get any sleep last night. I didn't sleep this morning. I mean, I'm not even talking about her and the pain and discomfort and everything else that she's been in. I'm just relating it now to the show. And I finally got a couple of hours of a nap this afternoon, but I am in no way whatsoever prepared emotionally and psychologically to sit down and interview Salman Rushdie tonight. So I'm actually relieved and glad that he's not going to be here. This then brings us to the old cliche, it's all for the best.
When you feel sad or under a curse, your life is bad, your prospects are worse, your wife is sighing, crying, and your olive tree is dying, temples are graying and teeth are decaying, and creditors weighing your purse, your mood and your road are both a deep blue. That Joe had nothing on you. Don't forget that when you get to heaven, you'll be blessed. Yes, it's all for the best.
Some men are born liberties, doing what they please, richer than the bees are in honey. Never growing old, never feeling cold, pulling pots of gold from thin air. The best in every town, best of shaking down, best of making mountains of money. They can't take it with them, but what do they care? They get the center of the meat, cushions on the seat, house on the street where it's sunny. Summer's at the sea, which is warm and free, all of this and we get the rest. But who is the land for the sun and the sand for? You guessed, it's all for the best.
When you feel sad,
liberties, doing what they
or under the curse,
are in money.
Your life is
never
bad,
growing old, never feeling
your prospects are worse,
from being there.
Your wife
the
is
best
sighing,
in every town, best
crying,
down, best making mountains of money. They can't take it with them,
one creditor's weighing your purse,
they get no
sense.
All your wrongs will be redressed.
Yes, it's all for the.
You must never be distressed.
Yes, it's all for the.
Someone's got to be oppressed.
Yes, it's all.
Getting wet. is a wash like hunting rivers against your shores. Just like floats lost in a parade, where the palms and tumbleweed sail right past the homes, they stretch and they fade, rolling like movie credits far beneath the clear skies.
Have two more songs that run together. They segue pretty directly from one to the other, so I allowed them to do that as well. Here on Idiot's Delight, two more songs from this band called Beulah. Wonderful stuff, isn't it? It's one of these albums that just sort of comes at me out of the blue without any advance knowledge or warning from a relatively small label. And I don't really know all that much about the band. I went to the website, but The information about the band is so indecipherable, even just visually indecipherable. It's such small print and such like gray on white lettering. It's like, who can read it? And we printed it out and it was the same problem. But it's all this dense stuff. I just want to like know where they're from. And it seems like they're sort of from San Francisco these days, but maybe from other places as well. Clearly they are an American band. And I will attempt to find out more about them. But I just started listening to this. And it's one of these albums that makes me glad that I still have the opportunity to play records on the radio and find new things and get excited about them and then come in on Sunday nights and go, hey, listen to this. Pull on your coattails a little bit here on WNEW-FM. Beulah is the name of the band. When Your Heartstrings Break is the title of the album. Those two songs are entitled Score from Augusta and Sunday Under Glass. Beulah. XTC before that. I'd Like That from Apple Venus. And from the film version of Godspell, that song called It's All for the Best. Taking a sort of a positive Zen cum Christian attitude here tonight. Oh my goodness. Oh, this is, could be the end of the world as we know it if Skelsey gets religion at this stage of the game. Speaking of the end of the world as we know it, well, hold on just one second. All for the Best. Victor Garber leading the cast, the film version of Godspell. We have to pause here for some commercial messages. 1027 WNEW-FM is the radio station you are tuned to on this Sunday night. Idiot's Delight is the program.
Monday on The King of Queens, is Jerry Stiller moving out?
Frankly, Douglas, your mood swings are frightening.
An all-new King of Queens, CBS Monday.
Mommy's leaving now. Be a good boy, okay? Oh, don't cry. I have to go. Bye-bye, sweetie.
Dogs with separation anxiety hate to be alone. Sometimes they're so miserable they destroy things, urinate or defecate indoors, cry or howl nonstop. If this sounds like your dog, Novartis Animal Health wants you to know that your veterinarian can help. So don't let your dog suffer needlessly. Call your veterinarian today for a special behavior appointment.
Do you know how to sleep? I mean, really sleep. Deep, sound, and restful. If you're not waking up refreshed and energized every morning, you may need a new way to sleep. You may need the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call Tempur-Pedic for a free sample of the mattress that can help you sleep more soundly every night. 888-371-6000. The Tempur material in this amazing bed cradles your body, reducing pressure points that make you toss and turn. In fact, tests show that Tempur-Pedic users toss and turn 83% less. Even if you have back or neck problems, Tempur-Pedic can offer unprecedented relief. No wonder over 25,000 doctors and sleep clinics recommend it. It's even won recognition from NASA. So experience the Tempur-Pedic difference. For a free gift sample of the Tempur material plus a free Better Sleep video, call toll-free 888-371-6000 and let Tempur-Pedic show you how to get a better night's sleep. That's 888-371-6000.
When you need a prescription refilled, it's great to know Duane Reade is everywhere you go in New York. And if it was originally filled by a different drugstore, just bring in the empty bottle, and your Duane Reade pharmacist will call your doctor's office and have it transferred over. And now, you're invited to have a totally organic experience from head to toe with herbal essences. And at Duane Reade, you'll find the full herbal essences line, including shampoo, conditioner, stylers, and body wash. Herbal Essences, you know, is made of 99% all-natural botanicals and organic herbs in pure mountain water. So, to experience the magic of Herbal Essences, come on in to Duane Reade. With locations all over New York, anything you need is everywhere you go.
Whoa, ever hear of a tune-up? Some people. Yeah, you know, it's tough being a dog. I got cars, I got trucks, buses, spewing pollution right in my face. Yeah, and yours, right? Yeah, it's a big problem. But New Jersey's doing something about it. Hey, take it easy, will you? I'm walking here. Anyway, this new emissions inspection program from Clean Air New Jersey is going to help clean up all this junk in the air. And it's easy. They got lots of inspection stations, plenty of open lanes, more convenient hours. Plus, these private inspection facilities all over the place. And you only have to go every 2 years. Hey, other states are doing it, too. Hiya, Charlie. Ah, home at last. So clean up your car's act, because clean air is better for my kids and yours.
Clean Air New Jersey. On the web at www.cleanairnj.org or call us at 1-888-NJ-MOTOR. Sponsored by the Clean Air Program of New Jersey.
Oh. 2.6 hours ago, Mike Proctor typed the words Shiatsu Massage into City Search. NewYork.CitySearch.com, the online guide. It's how to get to the good stuff.
Mm. 1.3 hours ago, Chris Poole typed the word tattoo into City Search. NewYork.CitySearch.com, the online guide. It's how to get to the good stuff.
NewYork.CitySearch.com, how to get to the good stuff. And now you can buy your MetroCard online at MetroCard.CitySearch.com. It's safe, fast, and convenient.
We're at WNEW-FM in New York. So there's all this music I was thinking about playing tonight for the planned Salman Rushdie visit to the show. If you're just tuning in, You didn't know he was going to visit, so you're not disappointed that he's not, but I am to a certain extent, because it was a secret that he was going to be here. That thing, that fatwa, that death sentence has been lifted, so he's coming out more and more in public, and he's been doing a lot of public appearances, that is to say interviews. He doesn't go out into like crowds all that much. He did something a few weeks ago at Cooper Union on the day that the book was published, this new novel of his called The Ground Beneath Her Feet, but he's been on the book tour, so to speak. And the security people are not so fearful anymore for his life. But he's not here. Circumstances conspired against us. And there's still a part of me that's in that mode. You know, I was on that track to thinking about what we would do with him this evening. And there were a number of sections from the book that I was going to ask him to perhaps read, because he seems to very much enjoy reading from his books. And there were some sections that I thought would give you a neat kind of look at how he combines all these wonderful disparate elements like Greek mythology, because the story is basically a retelling of Orpheus and Eurydice. Eurydice, however you want to pronounce it. Eurydice, I guess. You know, the myth of Orpheus following her into the underworld to bring her back because she's his true love. And the main characters are this man and woman, these lifelong lovers, husband and wife, who are the biggest pop stars in the world. They happen to come from India, from Bombay. And so, because that would be stretching credulity in the real world, Salman Rushdie has created an alternate world in which this exists. And so everything in our real world is slightly off kilter in the book, which is part of the delight of reading the book. So there are real people, there are real names, there are references to real events, but they're all bent in such a way as to make them fit into this imaginary world that Rushdie has created. And then, in fact, the lead character, the man who was sort of like, he's sort of Elvis meets John Lennon meets Bob Dylan meets Kurt Cobain, all, you know, meets Brian Wilson, all wrapped into one. I forgot where that sentence started. I hate when that happens. Sometimes I go off on too many parenthetical, tangential journeys, and I forget where I started. Anyhow, the point is, it's all there's. Oh, yeah. He himself also imagines alternate worlds. So there are like alternate worlds within the alternate world of the book. There's a sense of playful fantasy at work in this new Salman Rushdie novel, which some of the more serious literary critics don't seem to appreciate, you know, because after all, rock and roll in the pop world is not actually an appropriate subject for serious literature, don't you know? But I'm here to tell you that the man has hit the nail very firmly on the head. He's gotten the whole, like, pop culture thing mixed in with mythology, which pop culture is basically a form of mythology anyhow. He's got it all nailed. It's wonderful stuff, very funny. And if you're a longtime lover of rock and roll and pop music and pop, the whole, like, gestalt of pop music in our society, you'll be delighted by all the playful things that happen in this book. The Ground Beneath Her Feet. Actually, The Ground Beneath Her Feet is a song that that Ormus, the male, writes to Vina. Vina disappears. She dies on the very first page of the book. She's swallowed up in an earthquake, which is the end of the world as we know it. That's what I was thinking. It would be perfect to play R.E.M. because R.E.M.'s mystique is kind of something that infuses this book. And U2. U2 has, in fact, put the title song, which Salman Rushdie has written for the book, The Ground Beneath Their Feet, they've actually put it to music, and presumably it will appear on their next album. And I'll read that to you in just a minute. It's a beautiful song. So she disappears at the very beginning of the book, and the whole rest of the book is part flashback, and well, it's all flashback, really, told by this third person, this photographer named Rai, who is the childhood friend of both Ormus and Vina, and who is Vina's secret lover. And he's Ormus's very good close friend. So there's this neat triangle that's going on amongst the three of them. And he's telling the story of his two friends as well as dealing with the story of his love, his secret love for this woman and his grief over her passing. So here's a section towards the latter part of the book. Ormus has kind of gone into seclusion. He's gone into his mansion-like apartment on the Upper West Side in a building that slightly resembles the Dakota. And he's basically in seclusion there. And he's rumors are that he's become a junkie, and that he's just in constant mourning for the loss of Vina, and he's searching for her. And one of the ways that he's searching for her is Vina is like Madonna meets Princess Di, you know, meets name, you know, seven other top women icons of the pop world, you know, with some of Marilyn Monroe thrown in, and you know, like, and when she dies, like, the whole world goes into mourning. She's this beloved figure. And a kind of Vina impersonators cult grows up around her, in much the same way that there are Elvis impersonators everywhere. There become Vina impersonators everywhere. And Ormus, in his desire to find her in the underworld, because her body has disappeared in this earthquake, becomes obsessed with the Venus impersonators and thinks that perhaps she will come back somehow as one of these impersonators. So Rye hasn't seen him in a long time, and Rye finally goes to meet him in the hotel. Here's a good description of Vina. And she treats Rye like dirt. I mean, she loves him, but she treats him like dirt. She's a real manizer. I mean, is that the opposite of a womanizer? She goes through men. She's constantly, she loves Ormus, and she's faithful in her heart to Ormus, you know, like they're each other's one true love. But she's never quite satisfied with that. And Ormus is such a weird character that he frequently does not satisfy her, which is why she turns to Rye from time to time. But here's a neat bit of writing about her. Again, this is Rye, the photographer, who is narrating this. Her style these days is late 80s ultra glamour, no more hippie or radical chic. Trey movie star, with an extra shock and roll twist of outrageousness. Tyler, Gaultier, Ally, Legere, Wang. But most often, Santo Medusa. Now, Santo Medusa is a kind of a Madonna-type character. Or it's not. No, Santa Medusa is a designer, I guess. His all-in-one Technicolor beaded cat suits. Yeah, he's a designer. Is he a real designer, Santa Medusa? See, that's the thing in this book, is that you recognize names. There are names that are slightly recognizable.
I recognize Gaultier, and there were a few others, but I didn't recognize.
Like, he's got all kinds of, like, downtown artists and photographers. In the book, only they have different positions. They don't do like painters are photographers and writers are painters and stuff like that. And the names are mixed up, so he'll combine two names.
What was that list again?
Tyler.
That's a designer, Richard Tyler.
Gaultier.
Jean-Paul Gaultier.
Why do I not hear you?
Because I'm over here. Jean-Paul Gaultier. That's a designer.
Ally, A-L-A-I-A.
Yeah, that's a designer.
Okay, Legere.
Yeah, Harvey. Legere.
I don't know.
I'm wondering if he's referring to the painter Harvey Leger.
Wang?
Vera Wang.
But most often Santo Medusa.
That
may be a made-up character.
Yeah.
His all-in-one Technicolor beaded cat suits, his shocking pink smokings worn double-breasted over a shirtless torso, his chainmail mini dresses slit to the waist. Vina and Tina, people say, are slugging it out for the ageless diva crown. See, she's in her mid 40s when she dies, and she's sort of, the group is broken up. The group is called VTO, and the group is broken up, and now she's sort of on a solo comeback. This is the hotel room. This is the woman I love. These are some of the last moments of her life on Earth, her life above ground. Every stupid thing she says, every crack she makes, every heart she breaks, these are things I will forever hug to myself. See, every once in a while there'll be a little line in there, like, every heart she breaks, and your mind will make the jump to a song lyric, right? This is the CD she plays, Rain Dogs, the honky-tonk blues as reinvented and growled out by Lee Baby Sims. Well, Lee Baby Sims is the name of Tom Waits' alter ego. I mean, this is such a bizarre and twisted reference. Tom Waits in the movie Down by Law, right, is a disc jockey. His name is he's Zach, right? Zach Roberto Benigni. Can't get them straight, those two characters played by John Lurie and Tom Waits. Zach is his name, but his name on the radio at one time was Lee Baby Sims, and when they're in the prison, it's a bit that I play from time to time, where John Lurie says to him, "Do your DJ thing, man. Do your DJ thing," and he goes, "Ah, Lee Baby Sims with you." So he credits this album Rain Dogs to Lee Baby Sims, and when you read a reference like that, you go, "Man, this guy knows his music. He knows what's going on here." She starts singing along with Sims, low and slow, and the hair rises on my neck. Will I see you again on a downtown train? The walls seem to be swaying to the music. She's on her way to Guadalajara, the city where time stops, to Guadalajara and beyond. This is us making love. She always made love as if it were for the last time. This was how she did everything, how she led her life. But for us, though neither of us knows it, this is, in fact, the last time. The last time for these breasts. The breasts of Helen of Troy were so astonishing that when she bared them to her husband at the fall of Troy, Menelaus was unable to do her harm. The sword fell from his nerveless hand. This is the woman I love. And these are her breasts. I run this tape over and over in my head. Did you show the earthquake your breasts, Vina? Did you bear them to the god of storms? Why didn't you? If you did, you might. You surely would have survived. These are the breasts of the woman I love. I place my nose between them and inhale their pungency, their ripeness. This is Vina, talking as always after sex. She wants to beef about the problem of age for female singers. Diana, Joni, Tina, Nina, herself. Look at Sinatra, she says. He can hardly stand up. There are notes he can't even dream about anymore, and somebody should kill that animal sitting on his head, but he's a guy. Therefore, these are not career problems. Yes, she puts herself up there with the voice. She's a voice, too. She has no false modesty. She knows her artistic worth. Tina and me, she says, we're rewriting the book, not Fade Away. That's the new title, honey. We're telling you how it's gonna be. She's on to the younger generation, its inadequacies, its complaints. Here's the Madonna character. Here's Madonna Sangria again. This Madonna Sangria is like Madonna meets, who's the writer, the feminist writer who writes about...
Jermaine Greer?
Yeah, no, not Jermaine Greer, the more severe feminist writer.
Oh, Camille Paglia.
Yeah, Camille Paglia. This character, Madonna Sangria, who's just like a referred to character from time to time, is kind of a combination of those two. Here's Madonna Sangria again, still obsessing in Rolling Stone about the female body. Not its uses, but its abuses. Not sex, but gender. Will you listen to the low-grade grumpuses in this grouchy kid, Vina growls, talking mostly to herself. Man, we had high octane. We had rage. To whine about guys? To complain about mom and pop? Just wasn't in it. We had generals and the universe to fight. My boyfriend left me? Men are jerks? Give me a break. I'll take the good time girls any day. Bop, shabop, shabop, shawadi, wadi. She's singing now. She's so fine. And the book just goes on like that. It's like page after page after page of that. Absolutely wonderful stuff. Here's where he goes to find Ormus hiding out in a hotel room. This is not the hotel room in New York. This is, or the apartment in New York. This is a hotel room in Mexico after the earthquake. Ormus's floor of the Hyatt is like the Marie Celeste, uncannily still, a five-star ghost town at the top of the city. He has had it redecorated in accordance with his minimalist tastes. Almost all the furniture has been removed, all of the pictures and ornaments, and many of the doors. White sheets cover the walls and the carpets, too. There is a small sign by the elevator asking that shoes be removed. This is an unshod, segregated world. I pat about the soft moonscape in my socks, looking for the great man. At length, I hear the sound of an acoustic guitar emanating from a room which still boasts a door. It's an old song, but I know it at once, even though the words are new. All right, here are the lyrics to the song. All my life I worshipped her, her golden voice, her beauty's beat. How she made us feel, how she made me real, and the ground beneath her feet. And now I can't be sure of anything, black as white and cold as heat. For what I worshipped stole my love away. It was the ground beneath her feet. She was my ground, my favorite sound, my country road, my city street, my sky above, my only love, and the ground beneath my feet. Go lightly down your darkened way. Go lightly underground. I'll be down there in another day. I won't rest until you're found. Let me love you true, let me rescue you, let me lead you to where two roads meet. Oh, come back above, where there's only love, and the ground's beneath your feet. That's the song that U2 has put music to and has recorded. Maybe in the other world she isn't dead. This is from Salman Rushdie's marvelous new novel, The Ground Beneath Her Feet.